Rabbi said, good morning. Our share this morning is dedicated by Mr. Samuel in memory of his beloved wife, Esther Bas Rabbi Chiyo Meir HaKohen. Zichrono Livrach, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud and Torah, Nesham will have an aliyah. And by Yudid and Adam Ben Zev, in honor of their Mishpacha and the Kihila. So let's go weiter. Today's daf is Pei. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us. So we left off of us yesterday on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, 79b. So remember again, we left off Reish Lakish Amar, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we're focusing on the first line of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah spoke about Rotzeach Shinis Arev Va'achirim. So a very enigmatic case. A Rotzeach, somebody who is convicted, well, a murderer, we'll leave it at that. A murderer gets mixed up with another group of people. So all the Mishnah told us was, all of them are potter. Rabbi Yehuda said, we bring them into a kippah. Kippah means it was an enclosure. We feed them barley, and ultimately, again, they die a slower death. So we were trying to figure out yesterday, what is this case exactly? So we saw yesterday the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We saw the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Reish Lakish comes along and says the following. Reish Lakish Amar. We'll say, so what is it? 2, 4, 7 lines up from the bottom. Reish Lakish Amar. Ba'adam dekuli amalo plegi diptiri. We'll say, Reish Lakish says, everyone agrees that in the case of a person, as also remember again, the way Rabbi Avo said in the name of Shmuel, what we were talking about over here, his opinion was that if it was a rotzeach, a murderer, shelo nigmar dino, his sentence was not completed. He went ahead and he got mixed up in a group of other convicted murderers. Then what does the Tanakhama say? Tanakhama says, we go ahead and we exempt them all. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because again, the murderer ultimately, again, who was not yet convicted by Beis Din, the Mishnah reflects the view that you can't go ahead and convict someone shelo b'fanav. So therefore, again, essentially this individual who was not yet officially condemned by the Beis Din, since he gets off on a technicality, because we can't go ahead and identify who he is in the group, therefore, again, we have to let them all go. So it comes on Reish Lakish and he says, Ba'adam, they call the Amalo Pligi Diptiri. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Osai, that in a case, as Rabbi Avo described before, that when you have someone who the Beis Din was about to convict of murder, but Beis Din did not have a chance to do so before he disappears into this group, now we can't identify him. Everyone agrees that what? The entire group will be exempted from death. Look at Rashi, Diptiri, Hoel v'ika chad lo gnigmar dino. Since Rabbi Osai, there is one of the group whose sentence was not officially delivered. So remember again, in general, when it comes to capital cases, our approach with capital cases is however we can be lenient in order not to go ahead and carry out an execution, we absolutely do that. So therefore, in this case, everyone will agree that all the individuals and the group of people are all potter from death. But what's the case in the Mishnah? Bishar shalom nigmar dino, shenis ari bishar machirim. Mostly the case over here is a shar, not a person who killed, but rather what? A shar who killed. But Rabbi said the shar was the Beis Din did not officially hand down the verdict. So there was a shar that was killed, the Beis Din did not officially hand down the verdict, and then what happens? The shar gets mixed in with a bunch of other shvarim, with a bunch of other oxen. So we'll say, listen to this, and it got shenigmar dina. So we'll say, so you have whatever it is. You have one ox who was about to be convicted by the Beis Din for killing someone. Beis Din did not have a chance to deliver the official ruling. That ox runs away and mingles within another group of already convicted oxen. So what do we do in this case situation? So what do we do in this situation? So Achasik Dimar says, So kamif l'gir. So this is the Machlokes case. Rabbanon Savri, k'misas b'ilim kach misas ashar. So the Rabbanon hold Rabbo say that the shar's process resembles its owner's process. So literally again, like the death of the owner is the death of the shar, then gobrin dino shal shar ala b'fanov. And I will say, just like with a human being, you can't go ahead and deliver the verdict without the defendant present. So too, again, I will say, by the shar, you can't go ahead and deliver the verdict for the shar without what? Without the shar being present. Therefore, I will say, in this case, the shar is not going to be present. What else? The shar also mixed itself in with this other group of oxen. Therefore, what? Hilchach kulam pturim. Therefore, we say they're all potter. And so in this case, again, all of the shvarim, all of the oxen will be potter. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda holds, no, konsin osa l'kipa. Not true. You go ahead and you take the entire group of oxen. You go ahead, Rabbi Huda saying, what? You bring them into an enclosure, and essentially they starve to death. So Rabbi Huda says, now, by the way, when you understand that according to this approach, the Mishnah is not talking about people, but it's talking about oxen, so it reads a lot better. It reads a lot better. So now, ultimately, again, according to Rabbi Huda, you take, although again, Rabbi Huda could have also been speaking about a group of murderers, meaning, but at the end of the day, now we're taking a group of oxen, right? Most, all of whom, except for one, have already been convicted of killing, one who has not had the Gemar Din in front of the Beis Din. We bring them into the Kippah, we let them die a slow death. So the Gemara Amar Rava, Rava says the following, Ihaki. So we'll say, if that's the case, now, if what's the case? If either Reish Lakish's approach, or Shmuel's approach is the right one, if meaning if you're correct, then the ihachi hainu diktonia lo amrabiosi afilu abachalafta benehem. So we'll say, here's what's strange. So there's another, Rabbi Yossi has a follow-up statement on the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi reads the Mishnah, Rotzeach shenis harev ba'achirem, kulen peturin. So Rotzeach, a murderer who was mixed in with others, all of them are pater. So Rabbi Yossi comments on this, and Rabbi Yossi says, even if one of the group was Abba Chalafta, still they're all Peturin. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ihachi hadatani ala tap Rashi peyam adalit, bein l'reish lakish bein l'shmuel kamosiv, ihachi hainu achirim dimas nisin dirotzim kamar, v'hai rotziach shen esarev behokar l'basof nesarev kamar, hadatani ala bebrayin sahachi, rotziach shen esarev v'achirim kulam Peturin, Amar Rabbi Yossi, afilu abba chalafta b'neihen, kulan peturin, may afilu tekam Rabbi Yossi. So Rav says, he comes along Rav, and Rav says, in accordance with the opinions and the interpretations that we've had before, how are you to understand Rabbi Yossi's statement that even if abba chalafta was between them, nevertheless, again, the statement of the Mishnah applies. Allah Amar Rav, therefore Rav says, Rav introduces his own new interpretation. What is Rav's interpretation? Rav says, get ready for this. Hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Hachi kamar. Shnayim shayu omdin. Rabbi says, very interesting case. Two people are standing around. V'yatzeh chetz mi b'neihem. And an arrow emerges from between them. So we'll say, what is this saying over here? Reuven and Shimon are standing together. Right? Suddenly from between them an arrow is shot. What don't we know?
Who shot it?
Right? V'harag. And Rabbi says, the arrow killed someone. So what's the halacha? Shnei peturin. Ultimately, and I will say both of them are going to be potter. So what's the shot? So I will say, look at Rashi just a moment. Amar Ella Amar Rava b'shlohukel abeizin ka'amar kigon shneim omdim yatzeches mevinayim ben yodin a ze mehen zarku shnei peturin. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, we don't know who shot the arrow. So pause there for just for a second in Rashi. So now comes along va'amar Rabbi Yossi afilu abba chalafta beinehen. I will say, so where does Rabbi Yossi come along? Where does Rabbi Yossi Mosif? Rabbi Yossi says, even if one of the two guys was Abba Chalafta, I will say, who is Abba Chalafta? We don't need to know his biography. What we do know is, it was a tzaddik. So what is Rabbi Yossi saying? You have two guys, and one of them was known as a tzaddik. So I will say, what would be the tempting conclusion to reach? That it was the other guy. See, even if one of the two members was known to be an upstanding, righteous individual, you cannot pin the act on the other individual. You cannot go ahead and make the assumption that it was the other guy who fired the arrow. Now go back to Rashi for just a moment. Am Rabbi Yosef, ilu abba chalafta b'neihem, shakol yodin shu chasid. You can't convict the other person because of the chazaka that Abba Chalafta is a tzaddik. Ubaha, afilu mod Rabbi Huda. Excuse me, afilu Rabbi Huda moda. Rabbi Huda damar kons no so lekipa lo ala koi ela haki karmatana kama. We'll read the rest of the Gemara in just a moment. So we'll say, so now this is a new interpretation, and this interpretation actually reads so beautifully. So what the Gemara is saying is that what the Mishnah is saying is the following: Rotzeach shenis arev ba'achirim kulan peturin. Rava says means what? It refers to a simpler case: two guys. An arrow shoots out from between them. The arrow kills someone else. We don't know what. Who killed the individual? Both are potter. Moses, obviously, neither of them are coming forward either. So both are potter. What Rabbi Yossi's Moses on this, and what does he say? Even if one of the two guys was a reputable tzaddik, nevertheless, you can't pin the act on the other individual. Now finish up the Gemara. Vishar shenigmardino. Vishenis are vishara machirim. So the Gemara says Ma'alya, Soklin also. I will say now, according to this approach of Rava, the Mishnah is missing some text. What the Mishnah then goes on to is discussing a different case. What's the different case? A shar ultimately in Rabbo said shenigmar dino, which means Rabbo said a shar that was already judged guilty by the Beis Din was going to be put to death. But before the shar could be put to death, the shar escapes. It then goes on and mixes itself up in a herd of innocent oxen. So what's talacha? Soklin osan. So Rabbo said Tanakama holds that we go ahead and we kill all the oxen. We kill out the entire group. Rabbi Huda Omer, Konsin Osa Lekipa. Rabbi Huda says, no, we don't kill them directly. Rather, what? We go ahead and we just put them in a pen, and ultimately, again, they starve to death. So we'll say, so by the way, Rabbi Huda is not really arguing on the Tanakama. Everyone's going to agree you're putting the oxen to death. So what's the Machalikis, we'll say? You know, the act of having to stone a herd of oxen is a big job. Masha'enkin, if you just put them in a room and you lock the door, and you let them starve to death, there's not really any upkeep involved in that. Meaning you just go ahead, or there's not really any effort involved in that, you just let them die. So we'll say, so therefore, according to this approach, it's actually quite dramatic, a new interpretation of the Mishnah. Vatanya, but we learned, Parashem Misa v'achrikach yoldo, it's supposed another interesting case, but we learned, that Rashi points out over here that this Vatanya is benichusa. This Braisa, you know, sometimes the Hatanya sounds like it's introducing a question. Rashi says over here, this Hatanya, we have a Braisa, means a support to that which we just said. So watch this, Vatanya, Parashimisa, Vachakak Yoldo. So we'll say another very interesting case. Let's say you have a cow which killed someone, and afterwards it gave birth. So we'll say, we're now going to really begin to discuss a little bit, and you'll see how it ties back to our previous Sugya. So we'll say, so just before we go on with this, fundamental machlokes as to how to interpret the Mishnah. So again, the first, so one interpretation, so we have three interpretations so far. Number one, Rotsach Shenis Arev is a case of ultimately, again, a person who was found guilty but not officially convicted, mixed himself up in a group of others. That's the first interpretation. Second interpretation is that it's referring to oxen. An ox, ultimately, again, that killed someone but was not yet officially convicted, got mixed up with everyone else. But say the third interpretation, which seems to really resonate the most just in the reading of the Mishnah, two individuals, arrow comes out from between them, kills someone, we don't know who shot the arrow, both are potter. However, if you have a case of a shor that killed someone, that got mixed up with another group of innocent shvarma, innocent oxen, so what do? I will say, you kill the entire group. What's the only machlokas? How you kill them. Do you kill them with skila, or do you ultimately just starve them? So we'll say, so fine. So now, operating on this last approach, Vatanya, Parashe Misa V'achakach Yolda, if you have a par, ultimately, again, that killed someone, a cow that killed someone, and afterwards gave birth. So we'll say, what's the shayla? The shayla is, what's the status of the vlad? Because again, remember, we know, what are we going to do with the mother? We're going to kill it. So we'll say, the shayla is, what's the status of the vlad? Im achlo nigmar dina yoldo. So we'll say, if the verdict has not yet been officially delivered, and the cow gave birth. So if the cow gave birth before the official verdict, then vlada mutter. Then ultimately what? The offspring is mutter. Im ishe nigmar dina. However, again, if at the end of the day, once the verdict was reached, it gave birth, vlada aser. So we'll say, because again, after the verdict already, ultimately, again, the vlad will be aser. If you look at Rashi, for just a moment, Rashi says, vlada aser. We'll say it's about five lines up before Rashi gets wide. Vlada aser, I'm sorry. Vlada aser, du uber yerech imahu, the gamhu ne'esar bigmar din imo. Because we'll say, the uber, the offspring, the vlad, the child, is considered to be a part of the mother. And the same way that the mother became asura with the gemar din, the child became asura with the gemar din as well. Misariv ba'achirim, if ultimately, again, it gets mixed up with others, va'achirim ba'achirim, and then those others get mixed up with others. In other words, now the cow is mixed up with a lot of other animals. So konsin osin lekipa. Supposed to we go ahead and we put them in an enclosure and essentially allow them to starve to death. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, mevi'en osam lebezdin, v'soklen osam. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, we bring them to bezdin, and ultimately, again, we stone the animals. Omer Mar, supposed to that sounded like this. Omer Mar, imach lo nigmar dina yolda vlada muteres. Supposed to listen to this. So what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said that as long as the mother gave birth before the verdict was reached, then what? The offspring is mutter. Okay. Va'af agav dechinak chahave me'abra. The Rebbe says, so comes along Rebbe Elazar Shimon and says, is that true? So what you're telling me is, even if the mother was pregnant at the time she killed the person, right, nevertheless, the Vlad will still be mutter. In other words, what the Bryce seems to say is, what's most important over here? That the Vlad was born before the verdict. As long as the Vlad was born before the verdict, ultimately the Vlad is mutter. What you're telling me is, that even if the mother was pregnant at the time that she killed someone, so the Vlad is still going to be mutter as long as it's born before the verdict. Is that true? V'hamar Rava, Vlad hanogachas aser. Aser he. So, excuse me. I'm sorry. I just read that wrong. Sorry. Amar Rava, Vlad hanogachas aser he uvlada. So also, listen to this. Because why? He uvlada nogcho. We'll say, if the animal is pregnant at the time that it gores, so ultimately, again, it is both the mother and the fetus who are both chayiv. Why? Because we view it that the mother and the fetus both gored the other animal. So we'll say, if you understand that the child is a part of the mother, then that means what? That when the mother gored, the child gored as well. So says the Gemara. I'm sorry. Vlad hanirva. So we'll say similarly again, if an animal was violated, let's say an animal was violated by a person. So I say, let's say at the time that the animal was violated, the animal was pregnant. What's the halacha? The offspring is usher just like the mother. Why? Hi uvlada nirvu. Because they're both saying, if you were as if the mother and the offspring have both been violated. So I say, what do you see from here? You see from here that when the mother is pregnant at the time of the infraction, whatever the infraction might be, so the child, the Vlad, the offspring, shares the status of the mother. This contradicts the Braisa, because what did the Braisa say about saying? The Braisa seemed to indicate that as long as the offspring was born before the Gemara Din, before the verdict, the offspring is mutter. Which tells us that even if the mother was pregnant with the offspring at the time of the offense, that the offspring is going to be permitted. But that's contradicted. Why? Because we just got finished saying an offspring is the extension of the mother, and therefore, again, whatever the mother does, or whatever is done to the mother, is done to the offspring, or committed by the offspring as well. In which case, I will say, we should say that if the mother was pregnant with the offspring at the time that it killed someone, the offspring, the Vlad, should be asur as well. It's a nakhon. The same way that if the mother was violated at the time that she was pregnant, the offspring will be prohibited as well. To which the Gemara says, Emo, so you're right, let's change it around. Emo, im achlo nigmardina ibra viyalda vlada mutter. What it means to Rabbi say is the following. If before the verdict, the mother became pregnant and gave birth, then the offspring is mutter. V'imish nigmardina ibra viyalda vlada aser. And Rabbi say at the end of the day, if it became pregnant and gave birth after the Gemara Din, then the offspring is aser. So Rabbi say, what does this mean? What is this referring to over here? What this is talking about now is the case of where the mother became pregnant after the event, after the event. So let's say again, the mother, the cow killed someone. And then what happens? After the cow kills someone, then what's Rabbi say? That it becomes pregnant. So now, is the Vlad mutter or not? It depends. If the Vlad was birthed before the Gemara Din, then it's going to be mutter. If it's birthed after the Gemara Din, then it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, last line of Osai Pehamud Aleph, Hani Chalaman Domar, Zev is a Gorim Aser. So I'll say, all of this makes sense. According to the opinion, it says of Osai, that Zev is a Gorim Aser, that when you have two forces that create or that cause or that are involved in a particular result, essentially, again, both forces are recognized. That's the reason when it says Zev is a Aser. So this makes sense. Ella Amud Beis, Ella Laman Domar, Zev is a Gorim Mutter, Ma'ika Lameiman. Rabbi says, according to the opinion, who says Zev is a Gorim is mutter. So what is there to say? Rabbi says, look at Rashi. Ika lemeimar tohaki shenotz la'achar gemardin lav ihu lichudei garmalei shaf min hazachar hu ba beheter ve'isser garmalo sheyavo. So Rabbi says, so if you hold Zev is a Gorim mutter, what is there to say? Ela Amar Rava, Rabbi says, second line. Ema, here we go. I have to change it around once more. Ema, im atshelo nigmardina ibra viyalda vlada mutter. Ve'im ad shelo nigmar dina ibra u'mishen nigmar dina yalda vlada aser. So we'll say, says Ravina, here's how you have to interpret the Braisa. If before the verdict occurred, then what? Then ultimately, again, the mother became pregnant and she gave birth. then Vlada Mutter, then she'll be Mutter. Both say, why will she be Mutter? Why will she be Mutter? Because they both say, in this case over here, the child was not in existence at the time of the infraction. And what? And it was birthed before the Gemar Din. So here the child can't be, is not called, the child is not a party to the, is not a party to the damage, or to the, right, to the infraction. And also, because it was born before the Gemar Din, it wasn't born to a mother who was already Asura. So if pregnancy and birth took place, so pregnancy took place after the event, and birth took place before the verdict, then the offspring will be Mutter. However, again, Imachlo Nigmar Dina Ibra Vialda Vlad Mutter. Imachlo Nigmar Dina Ibra. But also listen to this. If the mother became pregnant after the event, but before the Gmar Din, but Umishenigmar Dina Yalda, but I will say what? But the child was only birthed after what? After the verdict, then Vlada Asr. Then the offspring will be Asr. Why? So again, just in the sense, what's this case? This case over here is the pregnancy took place after the event. But birth took place after the Gemar Din. Therefore, what did Bosei say? So remember again, this is the Zev Zegorin, meaning what the Gemar was bothered by, Bosei say, is that if a child is born to a mother after the Gemar Din already occurred, how do you just look at that child as untarnished from the mother? After all, again, it was born to an animal that is already Asura, to which the Gemar says, you're right, Enochinami, if birth took place after the Gemar Din, then ultimately, again, the Vlad will be Asr. Why, Rabbosai? Ubar Yerech Imahu. Because ultimately, again, a child is considered to be an extension of the mother. And therefore, again, once the mother has been condemned, if the child is born to a condemned mother, then by definition, the offspring is condemned as well. So Rabbosai, what comes out of this, by the way, is something, a couple of very interesting things. Number one, the Gemara is indicating to us that if the mother is pregnant at the time of the damage, then what Rabbo say? Then the Maisa, again, the child in utero is considered to be a party to the damage, which is very interesting. And that's, again, obviously, that's only true according to the opinion that says Zev Zegore, right? That's the idea, that the child in utero is considered to be one of the partners, ultimately, again, of the damage. A very important yisod. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, Rabbo say, is Uber Yarachimo, which is not, we've been introduced to this concept many times before. The idea that the child in utero is considered to be an extension of the mother. We'll say, for our purposes, what that does is the following. You can have a situation of an animal that is going to be executed for its offense, that could have a pregnancy and a birth in which the offspring is permitted, but only in a very specific window. Essentially, again, the mother would have to become pregnant after the time of the offense, because remember, again, if the mother was pregnant at the time of the offense, then the child in utero is considered to be a party to the offense. So if the mother became pregnant after the offense, in which case, again, the child was not involved in the death or the damage, right? That's number one. And number two, birth has to take place before the Gemar Din. Because this way, again, the child is totally uninvolved in the offense of the mother. However, again, if the child is born after the Gemar Din, then ultimately, again, the child is considered to be an appendage to the convicted mother, in which case, again, the offspring would be put to death as well. Okay? Kol chai v'miso. So we'll say, remember again, the next part of the Mishnah was, that if you have a situation of individuals, whatever the circumstances, we'll call it individuals, we'll say all of whom were condemned to death. But what? They were condemned to different forms of misa. So some were skila, some were whatever it was. And then what happens? The group gets mixed together. And no one is stepping forward to identify them. Say, I'm the skila guy, I'm the srefa guy. So what do you do with the group? I will say, now this case is a bit easier. Why? Because in this case, we know that everyone is what? Everyone is chayiv misa. So that makes it a little bit easier. Everyone is chayiv misa. We just don't know what kind of misa. So what was the remedy? What did the Mishnah suggest? The Mishnah suggests that essentially, we visit upon all of them the most lenient death penalty. Right? So we had a machlokes in the Mishnah, which death penalty is considered to be more lenient, but that's how we resolve this doubt. Visit upon them the most lenient death penalty. It says the Gemara, Shema Mino, the Rebbe says, it's a very important yisod that comes out of this. What's the important yisod? Shema Mino, Musra L'davar Chomer, Havi Musra L'davar Kam. Now, Bosai, here's what's interesting about this. If you think about this, that this seems to fly in the face of the concept of Hasra. Hasra, what is Hasra? Hasra means that if I'm about to commit a capital offense, so witnesses or base, whoever it is that's there warns me and says, listen, what you are about to do, A, is Asr, and B, carries with it a penalty. Now, part of Hasra Bosa means what? You tell the person, you tell the offender what penalty they are about to incur. So the Gemara says something very interesting over here. So what you see from Rabbi Osai is that when you get Hasra for a more severe form of death, by definition, what else does that cover? Lesser forms of death. So what the Gemara is doing over here is the fact that we can entertain this possibility that if you have a group of offenders who are all mixed together, that you can go ahead and give them the most lenient of death penalties tells me that even if one of them was sentenced to a more chamer death, I can go ahead and give him a lesser death because his hasra for the more chamer death goes in and covers lesser death penalties as well. Shema mino, musra lo davar chamer, havi musra lo davar kal. Hasra for something chamer, for a more severe death penalty, goes ahead and covers a lesser death penalty. Have us, and that sounds strange. You say to yourself, you know, death is death is death. But we know again that the different Yisos and Beis Din have different forms of severity. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. How come I ask? You know, what's the case? Rabbi will say, Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests, no, maybe this case is a little bit different. What's the case? Kigon shehisru bo stam. So Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests that over here, maybe what happened in these cases, we'll say, is these people all received what's called Hasra Stam. What does Hasra Stam mean? They were told that what you're about to do is Asr, and it's punishable by death. But maybe they didn't, the witnesses never articulated Skila, Sreifa, Herek, Chenek, Vahaitanahu. And we'll say, therefore, our Mishnah reflects if you're the following opinion. This Sanya, Ushar Chavi Miso Shebatora, So this Braisa, we're picking up kind of here mid-discussion. So, Abosa, the Braisa was talking about a Mesis, who is someone who goes ahead and tries to entice someone else to worship Avodah Zarah. So remember again, we learned that Mesis is unique, and that Mesis does not require Hasra. You don't have to warn a Mesis. He can be executed even without Hasra. So now the Braisa picks up after we begin talking about Mesis. Then the Braisa says, Ushara chave miso shabbatora, all other cases of death penalties. Eima misin osa. Rabbos, in order to put people to death, what do you need? Ela be'eda. So we'll say Eida means a Beis Din of 23. So number one, you need an Eida. You need a Beis Din of 23 for capital offenses. Ve'edim, and of course you need witnesses. Ve'hasra, and Hasra. And we'll say, what does Hasra come to include? And you have to let the offender know that it's going to be chayev misas bezdin. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad sheyodi'uhu be'eza misa hu neherag. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, by the way, it's not just enough to tell the guy, we're going to put you to death, but you have to tell him? What do you have to tell him? What type of misa is going to be visited on? So we'll say what we have over here is a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama about the nature of hasra. Tanakama holds that when someone is going to go ahead and be put to death, it's enough to simply tell them that you will be executed for this offense. You need not share with them which type of execution. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Hasra means not telling them to be executed, but letting them know which form of execution they are going to be subject to. Tanak Rabbi says, where does this machlokes emanate from? So the Gemara says, so before we go on, the reason we're bringing this up is because the Gemara is suggesting over here that maybe our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Because what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, you have a group of individuals, all of whom are sentenced to death, but have different forms of Misa, and they're all together. So what do we do? We execute them with the most lenient form of death. Right, whatever that may be. So the Gemara says, so what's the case over here? Meaning, so the Gemara wanted to suggest that you see, from here that if you get Hasra for something more chomer, it works for something even more kal. Then the Gemara suggests, well, maybe not. Maybe the case over here, we'll say, is where all of these individuals just got Hasra stam. They got Hasra, they were going to be killed, but were never told what type of death. And this Mishnah would therefore reflect the view of Rabbos, reflect the view of the Tanakama. So the Gemara says now, so now the Gemara is going to get into this Machlokes. Where do we get this? From Tanakama, Yoleth, Mimikoshesh. So we'll say the Tanakama learns this out from Mikoshesh. Remember again, the Mikoshesh was the individual who was cutting down wood and gathering wood on Shabbos. So remember again, when they found him, when they found him, they did not go ahead and give him hasra and tell him how he was going to be executed. Rabbah said, why did they tell him how he was going to be executed? Because they didn't know. But yet, they must have told him that what? You will be executed. So you see from here that what? Even a hasra stam. Even telling someone they're going to be executed without what? Telling them what type of execution is enough ultimately again to execute someone. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekoshe Shora Ashai. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Mekoshe Shavosai was an exception to the rule. Okay. Look at Rashi, just almost right across. Hora Ashai Sa, Vapi Adibor Mechayev, Velo Gamrinan Mina Ledoros. So we'll say, so the Rabbi Yehuda says, Mekoshesh was an exception. Mekoshesh God himself gets involved. And I will say, this was the first act of public Chil Shabbos. So this is that you can't learn out from here a precedent. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, ultimately again, what type of hasra do I have to have? And I will say, the Rambam Paskins, like the Tanakhama, that when it comes to hasra, Edim need not tell the offender what type of misa he would be chayiv. All they need to tell him is what? That this is a capital offense. That this offense, if you do this, is punishable by death. They don't have to know what type of misa. Okay. Haniskalin, well, let's go by Haniskalin. So we'll say, remember again, after we go ahead and we establish in the Mishnah that if you have a group of individuals mixed together, all of whom are subject to death, you go ahead and you give them, you execute them all, but you execute them with the most lenient form of death. So after we've now established that, then it will say we get into the machlokas as which is considered to be the most lenient form of death. So it says the Gemara, Masni la Rabbi Yecheskel l'Rami Berei. So we'll also listen to this. This is actually a very beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Yecheskel said to Rami his son, Hanisrafin bin Iskalin. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have people who are chayiv strefa, who get mixed in with a group who's chayiv skila. So we'll say, just the way the imagery over here is that you have an individual or even a smaller number of individuals who are mixed into a larger group of individuals who are chayiv skila. So there's a miut of, there's a minority of strefa guys mixed in with a majority of skila guys. So what happens? Rabbi Shimon Omer, yadunu b'skila. Rabbi Shimon says that ultimately, again, you judge the whole group with skila. Why? Shasrefa chamura, because we'll say srefa is more chamer than skila, so essentially you give them the more lenient death. Amar li Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say, so listen to this. So this was, Rabbi Cheskel said this to Rami his son. Pretty much he was just repeating the Mishnah. And he was saying that at the end of the day, a few srefa guys get mixed into a large group of skila guys. We give the whole group skila. Why? Because skila is considered to be the more lenient form of death. Amar li Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda, who is another son of Rabbi Cheskel. Remember, the first conversation is important to keep track of everybody. This is a conversation between Rabbi Cheskel and his son Rami. Rabbi Yehuda, who is another son of Rabbi Cheskel, hears this conversation. He says, Abba, lo tisnihachi, father, you should not teach the ruling this way. My area disrefa chamura. What does it matter that disrefa is more chamur? Tepokle, diruba niskalininu. There's another reason why you should go out and give the group skila, which is why Rabbi Osai. Because what's the case over here? The case is where a few strefa guys got mixed in with a larger group of skila guys, which means what? The rov of the group is skila. Why don't we just say rov? Go bust a rov. Right? This is a din and rov. This is not a din of which... So if the rov of the people there are chayav skila, we go bust a rov, we give them all skila. Ella. Hechi isnei. So we'll say, so ultimately again, so therefore, why is it that we say aniskalin bin israfin? So hechi isnei aniskalin bin israfin. Rabbi Shimon Omer yadunu b'skila. Shas reifa chamura. So yet Rabbi Shimon says, this is Rabbi Cheskel responding back to Rabbi Yehuda. Ela hechi asniye had niskalin bin israfin. So we'll say, so how does the Mishnah write that if the niskalin get mixed into the nisrafin, Rabbi Shimon Omar yadunu biskila, shastrefa chamura. So we'll say, but yet there's another version of the Mishnah that says that the niskalin got mixed in with the nisrafin. Now remember again, we'll say, using the imagery we had before, what does that mean? That means that a few skila guys get mixed in with a lot of strefa guys. Rabbi Shimon Omar yadunu biskila. Rabbi Shimon says, you give the group skila, shasreif chamura, because reif is more chamur. But if you're right, ihachi, ema seifa, the chachamim omrim yadonu b'sreifa, shaskila chamura. The chachamim say you should give sreifa, because skila is more chamur. But why don't the chacham just say, teipukle, dirubin istrafim ninhu? Why don't you just say, give them sreifa, why rabosai? Because in that second case, Ultimately, again, the Rov is Sreifa. Hassam Rabbanon who dekamulei the Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say there, the Rabbanon are talking to Rabbi Shimon. What are they saying? Lididach, I will say last two lines, Pema Beis, Lididach, the Amrit Sreifa Chamura, Lo Skila Chamura. So we'll say what they were saying was, the Rabbanon were saying to Rabbi Shimon, no, according to you who say that Sreifa is more Chamur, ultimately again, Skila is more Chamur. So we'll say, what comes out from this conversation is the following. Even though one would have been tempted to go ahead and utilize rov in these situations, we do not utilize rov. Instead, again, whatever the majority is to us is irrelevant. What we look at more is, what are the death penalties, the death sentences of the members of this group? What are the various death sentences? Again, we don't know who gets what, but the metzius of the Mishnah is, we know that in this group, there are Sreifa guys and there are Skila guys. We don't know who is who. We don't care what the majority is. What we care is, we'll say in a case like this, we will say that's what? We will give the group, ultimately, again, the less severe death penalty. And I will say, this is also predicated on the Yisod that Musra Ledavar Chamer, Havi Musra Ledavar Kal. That when you get Hasra, ultimately, again, for something more Chamer, by definition, that covers lesser penalties as well. Now, I will say, the sugi ends off in an amazing way. I'm going to lay Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So, I will say, Shmuel heard this entire exchange between Rav Yecheskel and his two sons. Now, Rami doesn't really say anything. Rami was just listening to his father. Rav Yehuda is the one who responded. So, I'm going to lay Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one. Now, I will say, that's a compliment. Sharp one means, Yertam Tchacham, Tap of Pealith, Lotema Le Laavuchachi. You really shouldn't speak to your father this way. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Huda said to his father, Rabbi Huda said, Abba, lo tisne hachi. Essentially, father, you're wrong. You shouldn't teach the ruling this way. So look at Rashi. Lo temale labo chachi tapa pe aleph. Rashi says, lo hodio behedja shuch toa, mishun namachsev umitztair. You shouldn't talk to your father this way. Because ultimately, again, you're pointing out in an obvious way that he made a mistake. So a child should never tell his parent, you made a mistake. This anya, harishaya aviv over al divrei Torah. But say now, this is a more intense case. Let's say a person chas v'shalom sees their father committing an avera. Person sees their father violating divrei Torah. Not intentionally here, but really just out of knowledge, a lack of knowledge. So lo yomar lo abba avart al divrei Torah. Person should never say, father, you just violated Torah. You just went ahead, and you just violated an avera. Elo omar lo abba kach kasu b'Torah. Rather, a person should say, father, this is what it says in the Torah. So a person sees their father eating chazer. Person shouldn't say, father, you just ate chazer, it's asr to eat chazer. But rather, we should say, you know, it says in the Torah that you shouldn't eat chazer. Says, I don't understand. Sof, sof, hainuhach. It will say, it's the same thing. Meaning, if I see my father eating chazer, and what? And then I say, father, it says in the Torah, you can't eat chazer. It's the same thing as saying, father, you did something wrong. It's the same exact yisod. So I'll say, so what should you do? Elo, omer lo abo. Mikra kasuv batora kachu. Rather, a person should just ultimately say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Elo omer lo abba kach kasuv batora kasak adaitcha betmiya kamar v'chi kach ksiv batora. So I'll say, so it's all, you know, how you say it. So according to the first approach, we'll say the person shouldn't say, father, you violated Navera. Rather, a person should say, father, does it say in the Torah you can eat chazer? Right? Doesn't it say in the Torah that you can't eat chazer? So Gemara says, I don't understand. Saying, father, doesn't it say in the Torah you can't eat chazer is the same thing as saying what? Father, you just ate chazer. Right? You shouldn't eat chazer. It's the same thing. Right? Ella, rather, what are you supposed to say? Ella, omer lo, abba, mikra kasu b'Torah kach. Rather, a person on both sides should say ultimately, again, not in a judgmental way, but an informational way. You know, there's an interesting pasuk in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to eat chazer, that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, that you're not allowed to wear shatnez. Look at Rashi, Elo, benichusa omer lo. I will say, in a nice way you say it, mikra omer b'Torah, v'omer lo, I will say, here's the script, v'omer lo, avi, mikra kach v'kach kasu b'Torah. Father, you know, I came across such an interesting pasuk in the Torah. And all I give is what? I give information. So we'll say, there are two things over here. Number one, there's not a judgment. Number two, it's how you say it, right? There's not the, I can't believe you did this. There's not, I can't believe you acted like this. There's a pasuk that says this, but benichusa. Father, I learned an interesting pasuk in the Torah. And the pasuk says A, B, and C. We'll say which is an incredible. So first of all, the Gemara is teaching us an incredible yisod in kibud aveim. How careful we have to be, even if we see our parents doing something wrong. How delicate the person has to be in transmitting that information, and how a person has to try to. Essentially, we'll say the goal is transmit it as information and not as judgment. Because I think there's another incredible yisod here, which is, if you notice again, if the Gemara reacts against, is telling the parent, you did something wrong. I will say, so I often think, it's not just the din ultimately, again, bless you, about parents. In general, whether it's with our own children or with other people also, I will say, you know, sometimes you have to point out something negative that a person did. The best way to point it out is not as a, you did something wrong, because sometimes I will say, if I know I did something wrong, and it's irreversible, and I can't change it, all that does is it makes me feel bad about myself. But sometimes the best way to present something to someone is in a way that gives them the ability to do better in the future. So again, we all have things also. We all have things that we've done wrong, and we beat ourselves up because there's nothing I could do to undo it. And that's, we've all had such, it's the worst feeling in the world. You know, you've done something wrong, I can't undo it. To be able to present to someone that you've done something wrong, but here's the way to rehabilitate yourself going forward, allows them to understand what's gone wrong, but at the same time, what also gives them a message of chizuk going forward. Obviously, this is a specific sensitivity of my father. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me, comes along Shmuel, says, Rabbi Yehuda, you might have been right in the halacha, which he wasn't, but you were certainly wrong in your interaction with your father. Well, I say it's a very important yisod, and I'll say, I will tell you, you know, it used to be, you know, when I was a child in the shtetl, it used to be that kibud av va'im was very ingrained in children. We'll say, there's a fundamental lack of kibud av va'im with our children. And I will say, it's a very important yisod. You know, parents, sometimes everyone thinks like, parents shouldn't discipline too much, shouldn't be too authoritarian. But the only way our children learn kibud av va'im is by us teaching it to them. So if my child contradicts me, or my child says you're wrong, I will say, it might sound very old school, but it's very important to tell a child, you can't speak to your parent that way. A child should never contradict a parent. A child, at least not a child could say, I don't understand something, but a child should never contradict a parent. A child could, there are plenty of ways to have differences of opinion. There are plenty of ways to say, ultimately, again, I think, you know, Abba, Mikra Kasam. Father, I just learned such a beautiful pasuk. That says something different. There are plenty of ways to say, because understand, what when we teach our children kibud av va'im, what we're teaching them ultimately is our respect for authority. If there's no respect for parental authority, it's hard for children to cultivate a general respect for authority. And we know that if you don't have a respect for authority in life, you get yourself into a lot of trouble and cause yourself a lot of unnecessary heartache. So there's yisod, if I see my father doing something wrong, of course I don't want him to live his life doing something wrong, but at the same time, I as a child have to balance the sensitivity and the need for respect and the need to preserve his authority at the same time. So we'll stop over here. Pick up with the Mishnah.
Please remove all your supplies.